That's the opposite of the Mabul.
Wife.
Wife. Wife. And the Mabul, it says in the Torah, it says,
without a summer.
It's the Gemara, the animals also used to do the same things like with Yichon. So therefore, they died.
Yeah, they
cohabited
with
which faces they. Because in the Mabul, the animals did the same things like the men.
Right.
Therefore, they died. Over here, they didn't do it. So therefore, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show everybody, that's why they all left. And the fish, right? The fish died. Why the fish died? Well, that's the whole lecture. Huh? I can't take a moment. Fish, it says in the Gemara, it says a story like this. As a Akiva was teaching Torah when the Romans said not to teach. He met Papus. Papus asked him, Papus was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Papus asked him, why are you teaching Torah? You get it back. So Rabbi Akiva told him a story. Once the fox was walking next to the shore, next to the sea,
talk to the fish.
And he talks to the fish. He said, why don't you come outside and have a party on the shore?
Live with me like the parents did. Which I come
so the fish said, we are afraid in the sea because the fishermen are going to come and catch us. You want us to go on the beach? You crazy?
Of course.
So Rabbi Akiva said to the Papus, when I learn Torah, I'm afraid that something will happen to me. You want me to stop learning Torah? You mean to be on the beach? Rabbi was a big rabbi, his name is David Davadok here, from Davadok. He has a book, it's called Galia Masechta. It says why Rabbi Akiva used the example of the fish. You can use any example. The fox came to somebody that, a bird. He tells the bird, why are you on the top of the tree? Come down, I want to talk to you. And the bird will have the same answer. Why are you fish? He said, oh, it's rabbi. Oh, wow.
You know, Norman's brother is in the hospital since Thursday morning. Yeah, I didn't speak to him today. He was part of the Shabbos. He went Erev Shabbos to the hospital, then he walked back. He slept in our house. And on Shabbos, he didn't go till Saturday night. And I called him, but he wasn't in.
What's his name?
I don't know.
So why is the story of the fish?
Yeah.
The fish, it says, Galia Masechta says, the fish is the only creature that he has to be all the time in a certain atmosphere. It means, if you take a fish, you put him on the beach, you start pouring water on him, he's going to die. He must be surrounded with water. You can't tell a fish, come outside, I don't give you to drink. His entity always has to be inside an atmosphere of water. He's surrounded with water. So that's why I came out of Tapus. You have to be surrounded with water to be saved. To be saved. So that's what Hashem said. He said, see all the fish dead on the beach because they're not surrounded with Torah, with mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
The people are not doing the right thing.
So Rami should run the mind?
Maybe.
Yeah, they said he predicted this a week before. He and another rabbi and his bosom that said that something very bad will happen next week in the whole world. In Asia. In the whole, yeah, you know, this guy is 110 years old.
Khaduri.
That's me, Khaduri. You know, this is my name, Khaduri. Yeah.
From Khaduri?
That's my father's name, Khaduri.
You
come from there.
I
know. He has the same name of Avadi Yosef, Abdullah Yosef. That's my father, Khuduri Abdullah Yosef. That's Avadi Yosef. When he went to Israel, he changed his name. He made it Avadi Yosef. But his name exactly is Abdullah Yosef. There are a lot of very well known rabbis in Iraq under the name of Abdullah, Ishmael, and they get the name from the Bible.
Who wants to hold it for a long time? Please have a seat.
No, I said this was huge.
No, for you. For you, I said before you saw that. No. Before you go to come down.
Hello, my legend.
With your permission, chapter 18.
They know.
Chapter 18, small bit, chapter 18.
768.
Mr. Atta, you know after which faulty? You mean after faulty? Listen, we are in the middle of the story that Avshalom, the son of David, is trying to kill David HaMelech. He's trying to overcome David HaMelech. In the meantime, David is hiding on the other side of the Jordan River. And Avshalom is going to approach him to try to kill him. The Navi says like this, chapter 18, sentence 1, let's put a bit of time, I should have said, my name is Tarek, David counted the people, and he had some thousands, some hundreds of people, we don't know, some hundreds of people, we don't know exactly how many, and he's going to do, to prepare himself for war. So David is sending the nation that war with him, Ashdishit Biad Yoav, we decided to divide the nation into three groups. One third with the leadership of Yoav, Ashdishit Biad Avishai Mitzuya, Achi Yoav, Yoav's brother, Ashdishit Biad Itai Giti, a person, David's friend, divided the nation into three groups. He is going to have three groups of army in order to fight Avshalom. Let's understand this with all the respect, we're talking maybe 5,000, 10,000, doesn't matter how many thousands, yeah? We're talking about now that Yisrael fights, now all of Israel are joining against David HaMelech. It's unheard and unbelievable that everybody all of a sudden are against David HaMelech. Of course, the explanation is that Shalom was helped by David's enemies, that they blamed David for misbehaving by taking Bathsheba to be his wife. Still, it's hard to believe and hard to understand that David HaMelech is going to fight with thousands of people, with maybe millions of people. We don't know how many. We'll see later that 20,000 people just died in an instant, in a few minutes. So we don't know how many soldiers really Absalom has behind him, but the description that was given in the chapters before that Absalom is going to direct all of Israel to fight David HaMelech. So really, the best thing that he can do is to run away. With all the respect, how do you expect with 2,000 people to overcome an army? I mean, if you have airplanes, maybe. But fight, just, you know, with swords. So David HaMelech, this is what he says, he's dividing his army to three groups. He wants to go also. He also wants to go, why not? The people said no. You don't go with us. You don't go with us. So if we are going to run away, this makes sense because we're going to run away, but they're not going to say anything and they let us leave because he's not there. If you want to retain him, they can be able to kill half of us, also less than the left. Then also they're not going to pay attention to us. You are equal like 10,000 people. So it's better off if you're not going to show up and you're going to hide. That are now tov ki tiye lanu meir lazor. It means it's better if you're going to be in the city and you're going to help us. What it means is you pray. That's what Rome says. You stay over here inside the city, you pray for us, and it's better you should not join us. Okay, you have to remember that the Navi was written in the Ruach HaKodesh. So why do you have to know these stories? Who cares not? The punchline is that Shalom is going to kill David. So in 1 minute you can finish the whole story. He says David HaMelech is having a few thousand people, they're going to catch Shalom, they're going to kill him, and that's going to be the end of it. You don't have to know that he's dividing the people, these people into three groups, and then they have a kind of an argument. He wants to go, they tell him, don't go. They tell him, no, you pray. You tell him what to do.
Well, we have the same thing with Yaakov and...
Excuse me. Do you have any respect for a person with a white beard in front of you?
As the one behind me.
Behind you? I don't see anybody with a white beard. It's time to ruin the lecture at 9 o'clock.
It's time to...
You said the whole thing already, no? Yeah. And you got to be
That's because I've been having some women, no?
You miss it? Thank God. Don't pay attention to it.
I won't tell you.
very depressed. Dari today is like a missile. Just forget what you said, okay? Just forget about it.
I don't remember.
Right. You're going to hear my melech. So he answers them. Good. Asher tav nechem etze, whatever you want, I'll do. I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to join you. Yavon ha-melech etze liyad ha-shav, v'cholam etze limon v'alafim. The people went, and they're going to try either to catch Shalom or to fight him back. V'estav ha-melech et yoav et avishai v'yitay lemo le'at li'il ha-na le'avshalom. Please, for my sake, have mercy on this boy Absalom. Let me, simple explanation, the way you read it, it means that it's still Absalom is David HaMelech's son. No, I don't want to catch him. He just wants the whole thing to be quiet again. The simple explanation, he wants the whole thing to fall apart, and he's going to bring back Absalom to Yerushalayim, he's going to buy him a new Lexus, and like nothing happened.
How old was Absalom?
I don't know. I didn't see any information. I don't know. It doesn't say this. We'll see in a minute. So, Moshe, please don't. Okay?
So, text any more verses?
No. Don't listen to them. Alright, here we go. So the thing is like this. The Gemara says, Amela Shemachal Kodol Kodo Malchot. A king is not allowed just to wait his respect. The king comes outside and somebody speaks to the king. And the king said, leave him alone, leave him alone. Allah Ha'id, you don't leave him alone. You go kill him on the spot. Because the Gemara says the respect of the king is not something to be forgiven. It's halakha. A king is not allowed to. Not that if he wants, he can do it. A king is not allowed to say, forget about it. He says, I'm humble, leave him alone. You're not allowed to. It's halakha. You have to kill the one that doesn't respect the king. The Gemara says, you remember, I mentioned before, Shaul HaMelech lost the kingdom because people used to make fun of Shaul HaMelech, used to embarrass him, and he was so humble, and he said, I didn't hear nothing. So somebody speak to him, he said, I think it's raining. So Shmuel HaNabi told him, Im katun ata benecha, rosh yifei Yisrael ata, he says, even though you're very humble, but a king is not allowed to forgive his respect. I'm sorry? Can hear you. He's honored, yeah. You cannot say, okay, doesn't matter, forgive this guy. You cannot do it. It's halakha. It's halakha in the Rambam. It's halakha in the Torah. Then from Torah. Otherwise, there's going to be no king. What's the truth behind it? Behind is Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A king is only a symbol to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch. It's called Sfirat Malchut. It's called the method of Malchut. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show and reveal himself when Mashiach will come. And you can't say no certain things unless you have this kind of honor and respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something in miniature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. This is the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Som Tassim Alecha Melech Tezari. Why did Hashem say to put a king? Why? You can have an election. You can have an election, and you can have a government, you can have coalition, opposition, and you're going to have this, all these kind of politicians and all these kind of things. Hashem said, no, you can have a king. Why? I don't want a king. The Gemara says, Shom Tassim Alecha Melech Shitei Emato Alecha. The Gemara says, Hashem Baruch Hu said, one of the Tariq mitzvot. Excuse me, one of the mitzvot is to appoint a king, that in order the king should have fear on you. Is there any warning to hear from the king? Nothing would be better if the king is nice to you and have mercy on you. Says yes, but the king is a tool for Mashiach, and the king really means Melech HaMashiach. That's called a king. The king really, what Am Yisrael refers to, Hashem said, it's a mitzvah to put a king is in order for him to be Melech HaMashiach. And Melech HaMashiach is going to be a king when the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be revealed. It says the kingdom to be entitled to have Mashiach, entitled to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah come back, it's only if you're ready. Ready means that you have this kind of respect and honor for this entity. Like Mara says, if that's the whole case, says Ari, you're not allowed to forgive your respect and your honor, because like this, they'll never be ready. If the king will be very merciful and all the time is going to have mercy in the paper, you'll never be able to Mashiach, because Mashiach means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming. The Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be, it's called the kingdom of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't expect any mercy. So that's the question, but this rabbi asks, and he's right 100%, and he says, this guy, Avshalom, is Moreh B'Malcho. This is something that you'll see in a minute. This is not so simple to join him against David HaMelech. And it's what David HaMelech is saying, please have mercy on him. Nobody has to listen to him. You don't have to listen to David HaMelech, because really this man deserves death. He owes his life to David HaMelech because he rebelled. Doesn't matter if it's Avshalom, it's his son, or anybody from the street. Anybody that runs on the street, he wants to kill the king, it doesn't have to be in that situation, he wants to kill him. He wants to embarrass him. So you just run over to him and you shoot him on the spot. And here, Navi tells us that David Miller says, have mercy on him. Also have mercy on him. And then, they're not going to listen, but David Miller will be upset. But the question is, why does it say it? Why David Melech says it? Of course, same as tradition means. It's his son. So even though it's a black sheep, I didn't mean you. The black sheep, I didn't mean. Even though it's a black sheep, still he's his son, and he doesn't want this Avshalom to die. He doesn't want him to die. He wants him to be alive. That's a simple explanation. But why the Nabi has to tell us this? Why Nabi is telling us that David HaMelech is worried about this Avshalom? Everybody heard that David HaMelech is worried very much about Rav Shlomo Zin. David HaMelech wants him alive, but again, not to punish him, never. He wants, he doesn't want him to be punished. He's going to bring him back again. He's going to bring him to Yerushalayim, and he's going to bring him to Yerushalayim. Vayetzeh ha-Masadeh likrat Yisrael, they go to the field. Vayetzeh melchama biyar Ephraim. It means like this, the scripture. Now if you want to know where is the place, it says the war took place Yar Ephraim. Yar Ephraim. Where is Yar Ephraim? Yar Ephraim is in, on the east side of the Jordan River. It means David HaMelech is on that side. He ran to the east side of the Jordan River. On the side of the Jordan River leave Menashe, Gad and Reuven. Ephraim doesn't live there. I mean, Shevet Ephraim and Ephraim, they live on the west side. But it's called Yar Ephraim, it's called the farthest of Ephraim. These are, give a description, that's the description. It's a war taking place, and I don't know why you have to know it today, but let's say you'd like to know, you'd like to go over there, maybe you want to find some old swords or something, archaeology maybe. So let me tell you, the Rabbi tells you that they go to the field. What is it, they go to the field? Why didn't the Navista say they go to the field? Why field? Give me a second. So they go to the field. The fight is going to take place on the field. No, of course, where are they going to be? The houses? So, I don't know what it means. So you see. But also, you should know the war is in Yar Ephraim, in the forest of Ephraim. Again, the place is on the east side of the Jordan River. On the east side of the Jordan River, there is no Ephraim over there. It's only Menashe, Gad and Reuven. This is the east side of the Jordan River that those two and a half tribes did not cross towards Israel, if you remember. Still, Ephraim has a place that's called Farest Ephraim. Farest Ephraim, not in his territory, in the territory of somebody else. It means there's a big forest behind the Jordan River, if you go to the east side, and if you go to Jordan, and that's called Yar Ephraim. Yar Ephraim, why? It says because Yeshua, when he gave the land, divided the land to Am Yisrael, he spoke to the tribe and said, listen, what I like you very much is that if you have some people with a lot of sheep from another tribe, that they want to take the sheep to have some grass in another place, you let them. Since Ephraim had a lot of sheep, so Ephraim used to take his sheep across the Jordan River, I don't know with what. They didn't have the link of balance. How they crossed to the other side with so many sheep? And it says Ephraim used to cross to the other side of the Jordan River, bring all the sheep to the other side of the Jordan River, and leave them over there. And it's called Yar Ephraim, forest of Ephraim, even though it's not Ephraim. It belongs to Menashe or to God of Reuven. There is no information exactly who owns this piece of land. But it's called Yar Ephraim, forest of Ephraim. Yar Ephraim, why forest of Ephraim? Because Ephraim that lives on the other side, on the western side of the Jordan River, he takes his sheep behind on the east side of the Jordan River, and the east side of the Jordan River, Ephraim is calling the place, called Yar Ephraim, it's not your place, not your place. Can you imagine somebody comes to your house, and he comes to visit, he takes the sign off the door, and says, there's not Mr. Heller, and he says, this is Mr. Moshkovitz here. No, Mr. Moshkovitz, he's only here. No, but I have permission for you, I have permission, he changed the name of my door. He says, call Yar Ephraim, he says, what is Ephraim? Ephraim, you live on the west side of the Jordan River. So he took his animals to the east side of the Jordan River, it's called Yar Ephraim, Paras Ephraim, what is it? Who gave you permission to call Yar Ephraim? And I don't understand the whole concept. He takes his sheep and behind the Jordan River. He passes them down the Jordan River. How do you pass the sheep down the Jordan River? So immediately when they arrived over there, the whole of Israel, talking about the whole of Israel, that's what it's dressed. So they come over there in Yar Ephraim, in that spot, and they lose right away. Right away, 20,000 soldiers died immediately. Again, there's no information how many soldiers David HaMelech had. 20,000 died immediately. The old world, of course, all joined Avshalom. The war started all over. So David says, this is Chachamim explained, that besides the 20,000 people died by swords, all of a sudden trees fell down, on people, tsunami. Trees falling on people, and all of a sudden animals arrive from all the sides eating people. Well, what kind of business is this? It says, Vayare Vayar Lechol Ba'am, the forest ate more in the nation than what the sword ate on that day. It's more people, 20,000 people they were killed instantly by fighting. So there'll be more than 20,000, again, we don't have the number, more than 20,000 people died because animals ate them and trees fell on them. Of course, that's why they died. But the Chachamim say they're dying not because they're fighting, they're dying because they joined the person that rebelled against the kingdom. And he deserves death, and the whole deserves it. So that's why they die, but the question is, what's the story? That the trees are falling on them, and animals eating them, and why not? He has to tell us this. Like, Avshalom is never there. So all of a sudden, Avshalom is there. It means like this. Or he got lost. Avshalom got lost in the forest. How did he get lost? He's all by himself all of a sudden. He got lost. You have a chicken. This is your partner.
I said so close in the
test. Close to try to own the shul. I think you're a lawyer, right? Okay. You might have a very good job. Avshalom got lost. He's lost by himself. He has no way to his army. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of soldiers joining him to try to catch David, to kill David. All of a sudden he's by himself. Avshalom ochev al ha-pered. He's riding on a mule. Tevo ha-pered tachat ha-shov ha-chalila ha-gdola. All of a sudden they're passing next to a tree. Ve-yechezak rosho ba-ila. His hair, it means his hair was tangled in the branches of the tree. Ve-yutam ben ha-shamayim uven ha-aretz. He got caught between sky and earth. It means he had a long hair. And because he had the long hair, while he was riding on this mule, the mule passed underneath a tree. His hair got caught in the branches. The mule did continue walking. It means he was hung on a tree in his hair. So the Gemara says in Masechet Sotah, he took his sword out, he wants to give himself a haircut. Right. He wants to give himself a haircut, he wants to cut his hair to release himself. He's tangled on the tree, the mule passed, now he's hanging, and he wants to cut his hair. He's going to cut his hair, he's going to fall down, he'll survive. How high can it be? It's nothing, he was riding on the mule. So the mule is a regular size, somebody said 4 feet. So he's going to fall down, so nothing, and he's going to jump down. So he wants to cut his hair. The hair is holding him to the bench, he's going to cut his hair, he's going to fall on the floor. So the Gemara, he looks underneath, he sees a hole. He sees a hole in the ground. He sees a hole in the ground, he sees downstairs, Elvis Presley. He says, oh, yeah, no. I don't think he's in Ganeden. Don't put it on the internet, they're going to sue me.
He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Why, he's above it.
He's alive.
I don't know, my father-in-law lives in Memphis, Tennessee. My father-in-law says he's dead.
Did he see him die?
No, but he went to his house. It's Elvis Boulevard. I also drove on this highway.
Well,
so I saw his house. A few times, Hashem was with him. Yeah. I'm just telling you, it's not Yosef. Because this was the lecture 3 weeks ago, and I'm not going to repeat it. So again, he wants to cut his hair in order to release himself from the branch. But he looks down, says the Gemara, but he looks down, he sees a hole in the ground, he sees the dead people in Gehenom underneath. He's afraid to cut, he says, I'd rather stay over here, I don't want to fall down inside Gehenom.
Shalom.
Huh?
Shalom.
Shalom, yeah. By the way, again, I'm going to repeat you all in Israel, but the Gemara says, do ever, ever name your son Avshalom. It was a wickedness. The Gemara said, in the next few psukim, the Gemara said, he doesn't have Olam Haba. The Gemara said, it's a false said. The Masechet Ketubot said, don't name your son Avshalom, because one of the rabbis in the time of the Second Temple, his name was Avshalom, after destruction. The Tosfot said, no, it's not Avshalom. He's not allowed to name someone after a wicked person. He was a wicked man. He's against his father. I mean, what do you need more? If he named his son Avshalom, he might take over your business. You know, he might come one day to the factory. He says his son became the CEO, and he's going to chase you out. How can you take a chance? This Gemara says he's trying to get him. Some Chachamim said he's in Gehenna. Soon he's going to hear. So he's going to die in a minute, yeah. So meaning it's in the Gemara that you hear the crunch cry. What the whole story is all about? After all. Yeah, here it is. Aviv or something. Somebody sees that Avshalom is hanging on a tree with his hair, so he runs over to Yoav, that was the chief of staff of David HaMelech, and I saw Avshalom hanging on a tree. You really did see him? Why did you kill him? If you would have done it, I would have given you a sarat, keset, I'll give you a belt, it's called the black belt. I would have given you the black belt and also 10 silver. You mentioned you are velu and nochis mekela kapay erket. Even if you would have given me 1,000, Roshachadi el Ben Amelech, I would not have killed the son of the king. Kibozen Siva Amelech, we heard in our ears the king commanded us, Otcha, you, Mr. Yoav, et Abishai, your brother Abishai, Vidi Tai, the third head of that group of the army, watch him, don't do anything to him. So when you tell me to kill him, I'm not gonna kill him. Even for 1,000 I won't kill him. Oh, city ben Namshi Sheker, you think I'm gonna do something wrong? Then the king will find out the lie. And then you're gonna stand from the side. The king will be upset at me that I did something and I'm gonna have to lie, and the king will find out that I did it, and you're going to stay innocent. I'm not doing anything, I'm not killing him. It says, you want to know something? I'm not even going to wait a second. It took three swords or three arrows in his hand. It means like this. He goes over to him, he walks over to him, and Avshalom is hanging on the tree, and he pushed like three knives, three swords inside his heart. While he's still alive, Belev Ha'elah. Belev Ha'elah means in the center of the tree. Then Vayasov Atzara Naharim Nosei Klei Yoav, and Yoav was the chief of staff. He had like 10 assistants, and the 10 assistants come over right away. Yakut Avshalom Amitu, killed him, finished. The Gemara said, Yakut Avshalom Amitu, ויעקו בעולם הזה, אמיתו לעולם הבא, פיניש. He's no עולם הזה for him, no עולם הבא, פיניש. Of course, it makes sense. I mean, the guy, with all the respect, he is the guy that made a queue rebel against David HaMelech. We have to know that David HaMelech, besides it was the king, his father and everything, this was the chosen one. והקדוש ברוך הוא, the first king, was supposed to be Mashiach and everything. Of course, it makes sense. I mean, these guys, we made a queue, want to kill HaMelech, so it makes sense. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, he's a wicked man, of course. So maybe that's the same explanation.
That's the Ben Achav,
right? No, no, no. The Gemara says.
They have to kill him?
I'm not going to say the reason, because you're going to jump again, you're going to ruin it again. I'm going to wait to say the reason first. I already learned today. By a sobo, a saran, so, Chanter is giving information, by Tayyab Shofar, Yablu Shofar, it means that's it. The war is over. Why the war is over? I mean, because of Shalom, he is, that's the first question, he is making the queue. Since he's making the queue, therefore, is that, there's no other candidate. I mean, there's no vice president. There's no, he can't help it. So the king is dead, so finished. Doesn't have an assistant. is not shiny. Finished, all over. Vayashav Ha'am Yisrof Achish Yisrael, Yichatan Ha'am Yisrof Achish Yisrael, says, no, you have saved the nation, it means they're all going back, and they're not chasing Tov Yamelech anymore. Again, but it's remember they're still on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Tachmut Avshalom, they take Avshalom after they killed him, Ashluch Oto Bayar. They throw him into the forest. When the fight took place in the forest. Since he's dead, they're not going to take him with the Chevron Kadisha to Israel. And again, they throw him over there and finish the end of it. So they throw him into the forest, and Lapachat HaGadol, there's a big hole over there. They see Balab Gala Vanim with all the few stones in him. The best of Israel, they all ran back to the tent, embarrassing. They rebelled against the Yidamela. You know, with all the respect, I mean, the old joy of Shalom. So, the sense. If Avshalom is really the one that was able to convince all of Israel, so he's dead. So you choose immediately somebody else. I mean, if you think the president is not good, and you all come against the president, and you choose a leader, the leader died. So immediately you have to choose another leader. I mean, talking about all of Israel, they're all against David HaMelech. So Avshalom died. Okay, big deal. But you join Avshalom. You all agree with Avshalom. So he's dead. So spread your people. Go choose another one. What do you mean? You all run back to the tent. Why are you running to the tent? How can you run to the tent? What happened? And then you left Avshalom, you wanted to be the king. So it's not so easy. If you're against David HaMelech, you're against David HaMelech. What happened if they all leave the battlefield, all run away? Why do you need the battlefield? Why? Why all of a sudden you agree with David HaMelech? What's going to be? Avshalom lakach od etzor lo v'chayav matzeh shebim kamelech. This is if you went to Israel, Avshalom. Yeah, that's a simple explanation of that sentence. That if you go to Israel and behind the Kotel, there is over there like a very nice monument. It's called Yad Avshalom. Yad Avshalom, it means the hand of Avshalom. This is Avshalom in his lifetime. The question is, when did he do it? If it before, after the coup, or was a long time before, he was one of a kind that David HaMelech loved so much, and let him do what he wanted. So he made himself a monument. This is a very gorgeous monument. He is not there. He is not underneath it. We don't know where he is. That he was thrown in the forest on the east side of the Jordan River. Right behind the Kotel, on the inside of the Kotel, then you go around, when you come up to the Kotel, you make a left. And you go towards the Olive Mountain. On the right hand side, you look down in the valley, you see a big monument. It's called Yad Avshalom. What is this Yad Avshalom all about? It's Avshalom decided to put it up for himself. Kiamar, he said, any ben. What do you mean, any ben? I'm not going to have a son after me. Babu has cursed me, nobody has to take Kaddish for me, and then Mishnah for me, and nobody's going to take after me. So therefore, they call him a Tzevet al Shmo. He called already in his lifetime, before he went to this war. So he already called the monument. His name, Vaikarela Yad Avshalom Ad Hayom Hazeh, until today. Until today, this nice monument that you see down there is something that Avshalom decided to do it from the beginning. If you're asking me, I'm the first one to destroy it. Like you have a monument for the Satan. I mean, what is the monument for him?
Is it the same one?
That's the same one, yeah. That's the same one. If you go over there in Shabbat, that's the one.
Where exactly is it?
It's right when you go out to the Kotel. You go Shah Ashpot, you go down and you make a left. You make a left. When you go down the Kotel, you make a left. It's a street, but a very narrow street. You continue up to the parking lot. You don't go down, right? It's after the parking lot. That's the parking lot. It's Kibbutz Zechariah HaNavi over there, and it's not right next to Kibbutz Zechariah HaNavi. There are two things over there. There's one thing is the pointing is Kibbutz Zechariah HaNavi. It's not Yad Avshalom. Yad Avshalom is the round thing and has a point on the top. That's he decided to put it over there. And it's not the Yom HaZeh. Not even if it doesn't necessarily mean it's up today, but it's up today. What's up today? Because it's a nice monument. Who needs to keep it? So it would be me. I would go the first day and destroy it. He needs a monument. He needs a monument. I mean, it's not making it, you know, good. It's good to be there. Everybody should look for it. Everybody should know, good for him. Now everybody's going to say, don't even start. If nobody had in mind to rebel against his father, to kill his father. You don't have a monument, but it's the biggest embarrassment for us. Somebody wants to kill his father. So he made a monument, and he kept the monument. And then Abid says that Avshalom has it, says, the guy is Rosh HaMusha, a good person. I says, whatever he did, I'm interested in what he did. And then Chaim asked also that he said he has no son. It's not true. If you look at the Navi.
There's 3 boys and 1 girl.
Yes. Look at the Navi. This is chapter 14, sentence 27. כי זה מדול לאבשלום שלושה בנים. ובת אחת שמה תמר. He had three sons. And one daughter. Why didn't he have to say he had three sons? Who cares about him? He has three sons. Now he said he put himself a monument. He said, I have no son. 27. Chapter 14, 10, Yudala Pasuk Chavdain. הם עדו לאב שלום, שלושה בנים ובת אחת.
מה דוטר
תמה?
הוא was a beautiful woman.
Beautiful woman, yeah. Good for him. So he has 3 children, not 1. 3 years. And who cares if he has it? Doesn't have. Let me have to tell you this. Who cares? So I think he has no son. What do you mean he has no son? So he made himself a monument. Good for him. Who needs to know it? הכל אבינו זה צדיק, אבל this man is רשע מאושר, לא רוצה. What kind of nonsense is this? If he's going to die, it's like a monument. We need to have a monument. So you know what? Before you die, they're going to bury you. You buy your second house, it's in a very good place. And they're going to bury you. You order a nice monument. $10,000, right? He says, he has no son. Because he has no son, you make up the monument in your lifetime, and you go down next to the hotel, you build the tremendous building, tremendous monument. It's called Yad Avshalom. It says, for what? It says, to remember me. It says, remember you, wait, after 120 years, you do it, because of the you die, you make a funeral, you hold the monument, you can pay the monument in your lifetime. So already, before he goes to the war, he made himself a building, he says, that's going to be mine. What are you going to use? Why you have to say it? Why do you have to choose it now? When you come, it's time to come, to go to Gan Eden. They're going to put, you have no son. So he said, tell them, I want to be buried over here, they're going to bury you over here. It's right next to Hazitim. It's right next to all the other graves over there. Rochai Makadosh is buried behind it. It's all the Hazitim is right behind it. This is really buried in a cemetery. It's not buried in the center of the city. So big deal. So how you die? So they asked if it's right in your will that you want to have a big monument. And then you have no child. Well, you have a child anyway. Nothing. No, nothing. So of course we know now the answer already a little bit, that we know that we don't know where he is. We don't know where he is. So like I don't know what it was, what he was like a prophet. It was like something that a sixth sense that he knew that nobody would know where he is. So maybe that's why I decided to put this monument for him, because if it means somebody will come visit me, at least somebody will remember me. But the other question is, who needs to remember him? I mean, he wants to remember, good for him. But the first thing we should do is to destroy this monument. It's a beautiful piece of art. But we should keep it. It's amazing it was kept. It's amazing. I mean, a lot of things were kept, I don't say, but it's amazing this was kept. Yad of Shalom. Adayomazeh doesn't mean it's really is there. It doesn't mean it's really is there. But the Navi says, Adayomazeh means when this thing was written, it's still there. That's what it means. So, Machimat ben Tzadok Amar, Utsana Vatal Amelech Yishabtu Hashem Yadvas, Machimat ben Tzadok, this is the one that came and told David Amelech, run away for your life. It is now, the war is over. Let me run back to David Amelech and I'm going to tell him. And then David Amelech is in the forest, around the corner. And he's going to tell him that Avshalom is dead. Hashem sent him from his enemies. Lo, Yisohata Yom Hazeh. He said, that's not for you, this job. Your job is to give good news. You're not ADC. You don't give this bad news on the television that the king's son died. It's not for you. That's not a good job for you. He says, you have meat over there, a person, a kushi. I'm not going to say what it is, you know. It's America, I can't say this. I said, he says, the kushi, go find the kushi over there in the forest. He says, you go, you tell the king. It was the same over there. Maybe now, man, the question of who he was, you run. He's going to tell the king that Absalom is dead. He says, you have to be stupid. Stupid. You have to be stupid. I mean, the king told you, don't touch him. The king gave you instructions. Don't do it, don't do it. So maybe you disagree because the guy rebelled, okay? But how stupid you can be if you send a messenger to tell David HaMelech that he's dead? That's it. You tell David HaMelech, the war is over, we're looking for Shalom. That's, you know, like in the police, that's in Chelem. I told you once, in Chelem. Somebody died in Chelem. So the rabbi called up the Shamash, he says, I want you to go tell the lady that her husband died. But you can't tell her your husband is dead because she's going to faint, she's going to die. So the Shamash said, you know, I know how to say it. Don't, trust me. He knocked on the door. The lady said, yes. So the man said, is this the place of the widow? that's the way you play, but you don't send a messenger. How cruel you can be. Especially you got instructions. You got instructions not to kill Absalom. So you kill them, it's bad enough. That would be Yoav. I would say, I have no idea what happened. I have no idea. He died. You know, that's, you know, I have no idea. Every criminal, the police catch him, says, I have no idea. I just got it. Don't ask me. I have no idea. He's hiring a person to go tell David news. I said, well, how? What's the sense behind this? This is the only basis of the Chimat Mehmele Av. Vima, Achimat is very small. Achimat says, no, I disagree with all, you convinced me so well, I'm running. Vima, Vahutz, Magam, Ani, Achia, Kushi, I'm also running. Vima, Yoav, Lama, Zeta, Hutz? Lama, Zeta, Atara, Ratsni, Lachaim, Bishra, so why are you running? Why are you running? Why are you going to tell him? I told you, this news is not for you. Stay over here. He says, no, I'm running. I said, why are you running? Vima, Vahutz, he says, but don't worry, I'm running. I said, well, what is this? It's a marathon. Where's your husband? I'm on the roots. He says, you want to run? Run. Huh? No, I'm not going to run. Going to run?
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, why? You have something?
No.
He can run.
He's too shrewdy. Why are you asking if it's a coin?
He's afraid to say.
Why don't you write in a piece of paper and give it to me? Like in the government, you give paper to the... He wants to run. The Achimat is a very good runner. He knows how to run very fast, and he runs. Not only he runs, he's able to overtake the other one, the Kushi. He's taking him, so he's much further towards David HaMelech to the forest, David Shemin Shnei Asherim, David HaMelech sitting by himself between the two gates. HaMelech HaTefei Ragashav, the person goes upstairs and he looks, and he sees the Lachman Lechet Namei Nei Yishrat Tamadu, he sees Achimat is running. He says, somebody is running, but he cries to him, David HaMelech 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 HaMelech. Is he by himself? Must be very good news, the king says. Is he by himself? HaMelech HaRov, Aloch Vesarev, he says, Achimat is coming closer and closer, Bayar HaTefei Ish Achirat. Then he sees behind him, the Kushi is coming also, he's running. Vayikra, Sofer Hashem, in Ish Rats Levado, he says another one by himself, the Meler Gam, Zeh Mevater, very good news, Baruch Hashem, he got the good news. Vayomer HaSofer, the guy says, the looking, he says, Ani Roet Mosat HaRishon Kmosat Achimat Ten Tzadok. I see, the Sefer is running, this is the son of Tzadok, is a Kohen. Again, he was in the team of David HaMelech, he gave the Melech the news to run away to the forest, and he says, if he is running over here, must be good news. And HaMelech Ish Tov Zev El Besorat Tovevo. This man always gives good news, because he's a good man. So the Gemara Chachamim says, it's also, it's a very big zchut to give good news. If you know a baby was born, you know, Arafat Imachimo is dead. You know, all... Right. So the Gemara says, Ari says that the Gemara uses the pasuk, but Ari says that he gets, if you may say, the power of Elyonavi. Right. Power of Elyonavi. It means you get a special blessing and a special power like Elyonavi when you give good news. What it means is very powerful. Ari says very powerful. That you know good news, make a phone call. Call people, tell people, you have it happen, good news. It says, because good news, it means that you get inside yourself power for Eliyahu Navi. The Eliyahu Navi is behind you. Why? Because Eliyahu Navi is supposed to come 3 days before Mashiach will come and announce the arriving of Mashiach. Cesari, Ishto Mevaser Tov, Cesari, that this is Achimat, that we learn it from Achimat, as David HaMelech said, that's very good, this man always likes to give good news, it's important to give good news. He knows the truth, he knows that Avshalom is dead, he wants to tell Avshalom, I told him, don't tell him, it's behind him is the Kushi, and the Kushi is going to tell David HaMelech in 1 second that Avshalom is dead. In the meantime, he's pretending, he runs with a smile, it says, thank God the war is over. There's somebody behind me running. It's talking about himself. It's a question. He says, I have no idea. I think everything is okay. Yeah, why not?
Good liar.
Good liar. Good politician, not good liar. Hmm. Imam Amir Asolik has said, quote, stand over here, let's see, Baruch Hashem, thank God, good news. Wait a minute, I'm over here, Kushiba. The Kushi arrived, and Kushi is better than the Amelech, and the king should be, have good news. Vishetacha Hashem, and Miguel Tolkien Malecha, it says, Baruch Hashem, you got rid of all the ones against you, Amelech, and Kushi, Shemana, Avshalom, 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 and Kushi, you can now, Amelech, and Shekha Malecha. You see, all the enemies like him, what means is that? Finish. Just going to continue a little bit, this chapter 19, just a few lines. Vayegad HaMelech Vayelat Rasha, Vayef, he's crying. Vayef, Ko, Vecho Amar Melechto, Bni, third time he says, Bni, Avshalom, Bni, 3 times. Avshalom, Itev, Nid, Atir, Adem, Avshalom, Bni, 5 times on Avshalom. Ah, it's already?
It's 8. Oh, it's 4.
The Gemara says, yeah.
It says
8. Yeah. Right. The Gemara says 8. Shiva Madura Gemara? Right. Because it says before, the Gemara can't, it's calling before, it's calling later. Shalom, Bni Avshalom, 10 times 5. Bni Shalom. Again it says, Bni. 3 more times, 8 times. 8 times. It's crying. Vayavoyo Avel HaMelech HaBayit, 10 times 6. Chapter 19, 10 times 6. So he doesn't know who killed him, but Yoav comes inside, and he tells him, "I'm embarrassed. You're embarrassing everybody. Everybody was in danger, and what you're doing is sentence 7. La'avayt sonecha, b'sonot ra'echa. You love your enemies, and you hate your friends.
He's talking to the king.
He's talking to the king." It says, Kiluy Avshalom Chai Kulana Yometim Ki Az Yesha Benecha. He says, what's wrong with you? If Avshalom would be alive, you all would be dead. What's going on with you? That you cry? He says, no, no. Alright, ready?
We're afraid to say anything.
Dari says like this. If you remember,
when David HaMelech was brought to Shmuel HaNavi to he wanted to pour the oil on him, so before Shmuel HaNavi poured the oil on him, he looked at David HaMelech, a red man, I said, Esav. I said, that's the new murder, the new El Capone. So Hashem told Shmuel HaNavi, don't worry, he's not Esav. He's going to kill also, but he's not Esav. He has blue eyes, he has the Midrash says he has seven colors in his eyes. He had the light blue eyes like Atta. Like Atta's children, maybe.
Like a rainbow.
Like a rainbow. Right. He has seven colors in his eyes. That Hashem told Shmuel HaNavi, you're not to worry, he's like Esav, but it's not like Esav. And he says like this, Esav, the numerical value of the word Esav, is Ayin is 70, Shin is 300, and Vav is 6, is 376. The word Shalom is 376. At Shalom is even bigger than Esav. Now we'll go through Esav, says Zari. Come on, please, use the whole architect for this. Something like this. David and Absalom is one person. This is Esav. David is the good part of Esav, and Absalom is the bad part of Esav. Let me tell you what Esav did, the bad part, and what is really behind Esav. As Esav, the Gemara says, when Esav was 40 years old, he decided to get married. Until he was 40 years old, he used to chase married women and take them. David tells us, Absalom took 10 wives of David and made a thing with them.
Absalom
took 10 wives of David and while David and was away, running away from him, he took 10 wives of David and did things with them.
But David HaMelech also took them with
him. Right. This was the punishment was made. But that's the sons of the father.
His sons. Now,
David HaMelech, Esav was trying to kill Yaakov all the time. Absalom killed his brother. His name was Amnon. Esav had respect for his father. That's the only thing that kept Esav, we say, alive. Yaakov is afraid of Esav as a brother, it's just because Esav has so much respect for his father. But this is the good part of Esav. This is going to be David. This is the bad part of Esav, has no respect for anyone. If you remember, when Esav was born, the description of Esav is that he's hairy. He has a lot of hair. Absalom is hair. And therefore, we're going to learn about this wicked person, Absalom, that Absalom was trying to kill Yaakov. And again, David HaMelech is like Yaakov, is like Esav, the good part of Esav is part of Yaakov, if you remember. And that's what Esav is trying to do. This is Absalom is trying to do, to get rid of him. But David HaMelech knows it. He says, that's why David HaMelech, he says, do not kill this guy, do not kill this guy, because this is part of David HaMelech, that really Absalom has to take order after David. Really, he has to take after him. Because he is part of David, this is two of them are the complete Esav. Now, Shalom would have been a very good boy, he is the best. Again, we don't know what happened to Esav, again, but we do know that Esav, nobody knows where his grave is. They said that Esav, his head is in Marat HaMachpelah, the Midrash says, he arrived over there, and somebody pushing Benan chopped his head off. But if somebody can ask you, where is the grave of Esav, says, nobody knows. He says, it's Yad Avshalom. Avshalom said, nobody's going to know where I am. He said, let me put a monument, somebody should remember me. He said, somebody to remember you. He says, what other bad things you did? He says, one time after Absalom killed his brother Amnon, he had to run away, and he said he wants to get back to Yerushalayim, that he doesn't want to see him, and then
he's sending somebody that he wants David HaMelech to see him, so the guy doesn't want to go, so he sends some people to burn a field of this person. Chapter is this. Yeah, those chapters. I skip those chapters. Yeah, where is it? Yeah, who is it? Who is it? Yoav, right?
Yeah.
Avshalom wanted Yoav to go to tell David HaMelech to have an appointment with him. David HaMelech is very upset at him. And he said, go burn the field. Go burn the field. And this is why Yoav is so upset at him also. Again, if you remember that Esau was very busy in the field hunting and he's trying to hunt, he's trying to bring food to Yitzhak Avinu, he cannot come, he cannot bring. But that's when Navi says that David HaMelech is acting like Yaakov, he's dividing his nation to three parts and he's going to pray. He's not going to go to the war. That's because Yaakov, you remember Yaakov did also do the same thing, he divided his people and he did also some preparation and he went to and prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him from Esau. And that's also about Avshalom, that Avshalom is really, he is the best person. The Gemara says like this, they took three arrows or three swords that you have put inside of Avshalom. It says that man is a thief. He's a thief. He said, what did he steal? He said he stole the heart. He stole the heart of his father. He stole the heart of the nation. And he saw the heart of the people that he told them, come along with me. And the people put on the dream, yeah. Used to go, you went on the street with a piece of paper, remember?
Yeah.
You're here, now in the show, now. No, you weren't here. Yeah. So the first guy that really stole was Cain. The Gemara says, Vayetze Cain lifnei Hashem ganav da'at ha'elyona. It's after Cain killed Hevel. Originally, our list says the first killer is Cain, the second killer is Esav, and the third killer is Avshalom. Cain and Esav is the same person. But Cain is murdered his brother. Esav is trying to murder his brother. So after Cain killed Hevel, he spoke to Hashem, and he said, listen, I can't walk around, the animal's going to kill me. He says, but you take kindly listening to Hashem. He says, kind like walking outside like a thief. He says, he's being described in the Gemara in Rashi in the first Parashat Bereshit. He's like he's stealing the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second one, if you remember, is Esav. He's coming home, he's asking his father how to do this, how to do this. He talks like a rabbi. He says, how to do Maaseh on salt, how to make a Maaseh on this. But also, he's being described as a thief. All the people on the street also thought Esav is deciding because he's a holy man. It says Avshalom, says the Gemara, was the same thing. They ignore the clever of Israel. He used to stand up there next to the palace of the Melech to say, hello everybody, hello, I'm going to be a better king, a better judge than my father. I said, where did you get this idea to rebel against your father? He said, it's not my father, it's my brother. It's not my brother, it's me. He and me are Esav, is one entity. He is one part, I'm one part. He is wrong. I want to say be the king. So yeah, that's David HaMelech understands very well. And that's David HaMelech says, don't kill him to bring him back. We have to fix him. By killing him, he doesn't accomplish anything. It's the power of David HaMelech, is the bad part of Esav, that he is the good part of HaMelech, should be completed by both of them. And so David HaMelech says, don't kill him. But Yoav knows that this guy is really the bad part of Esav, that's why he wants to kill him. Therefore also, this is really why David HaMelech said, don't kill him, and really they have to obey his request, because it's not that guy is rebellion against king, it's like against himself, like the left hand against the right hand, that really Avshalom and David is the same entity, they both are itself. That's what the Gemara says, Elohim Ramaba, which means the bad part of Esav doesn't finish Ramaba. He says the good part of Esav is Marat HaMachpelah. And he says the bad part, you don't know where he is. But he tells you, listen, Avshalom was thrown
into a pit in the desert. It says in the place to the fire took place in the field. It says like Esau was always in the field. He says, can he be dead? Nobody would know where he is. He says, but we have Avshalom. So what is Avshalom? Avshalom is not to remember, says Ari, to remember that it was Avshalom. That's bad news, you have to remember. It's only to know that David HaMelech was the good part of Esau, and Avshalom was the bad part of Esau, and this really what did happen to the bad part of Esau. It's not that we remember Avshalom as a person of Shalom. That's what the Torah says, don't name your son Avshalom. And Avshalom is a bad name. It means Avshalom represents the bad part of Esau. So of course you don't want to name your child after the bad part of Esau. The only good thing of Esau is respect. So that's what saved Esau. It says this guy Avshalom doesn't have to respect his father. I mean, he doesn't have to respect. This is he has nothing. All what he has is bad news. Yeah, that's what he wants to know, yeah. That's what he wants to know. What's the connection to the poem? That's too deep, it's good. All right. A little bit, only a little bit, with your permission. The Torah talks about murdering. The Torah talks about murdering by mistake. Asher yavo et chayu bayar. The Torah speaks about the person that's killed by mistake. The Torah uses the example that somebody is in the forest. That's the only place it says in the Torah the word forest. Yar is the forest. Right. Somebody is in the forest, he's chopping wood. He's chopping wood and chopping trees. Chopping trees in the forest. And all of a sudden either a chip from a tree fell and fell on somebody, or fell maybe the piece of metal from the hammer, or the handle of the hammer. It's a question what really fell. And then kill the person, and then you didn't have the intention to kill the person. And so on says the matter would have to run to what's called a shelter city. Running over there is going to have to be there till the Kohen Gadol will die. That is punishment. So again, with all the respect, I mean, you read the Torah doesn't have to tell you this. The Torah can tell you very simple the way we translate, and it really has nothing to do with the forest. And you look in the Rambam, it says nothing. I said somebody killed somebody by mistake, and you go to a shelter city. You don't have to have description. Can be in the forest, can be in the street, can be in the house. Doesn't matter how what it is. You don't have to give me a street. This is rather than to give you an example that you have to know it's a forest. It's a very simple. It's a very simple thing. The Torah doesn't give you an explanation. Every time the Torah says don't do it, the Torah doesn't say no. If you're going to go over there, don't do this. Nothing to do with forest. It is a place that people might go, might not go. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to go to a forest. We didn't learn yet, but in Sefer Melachim is a story about Elisha. Elisha Navi was in Yericho, and some children ran after him, and they called him Alek Kireach. They cursing Elisha Navi. Why are they cursing Elisha Navi? The Gemara said that Elisha Navi made a miracle. In Yericho, it's hard to get water. Water has too much salt. It was a place that was good water and became salty because it's next to Yom HaMelech, the lack of salt travel. And Elisha was a very holy man. He came over there. He took a little bit of salt, threw it into that little lake, the little river, and the whole thing became sweet. Those people had some jobs. He used to sell water. And since Elisha made the miracle, there's plenty of sweet water. So they were unemployed. The Nisha got on the street. So 42 people scream at him, "Go away, go away. I lost my job. I became unemployed because of you, because you made it. What a priest." Hello. So then Navi says, "But the Semesh need to be Minayar." Two bears came out from the forest. From the forest. And ate the 42 children. On the spot. So the Gemara says, don't think it's so simple. Don't think it's so simple. Those 42 children were born from a mother that became pregnant on Yom Kippur. There was a chut, there was what you call the chutzpah. Those children scream at Elisha and tell him, you bally man, you know, he lost his hair. This, before these people invented all the things that you have hair bets, you know, on television, that you pay this guarantee hair. But they don't say which gilgul. You can hair, you can get your hair bets at all bets, but it depends when. Is this gilgul or next gilgul?
And how long it will last.
After the last, that doesn't matter. That is if you can get it.
It depends on evolution.
So Elisha, as they call him, Malek, asked the question what it means really, if he was bold or not, but that's the way they scream at him. So the Gemara says, all of a sudden two bears arrived from the forest. They jumped on those 42 children that embarrassed Elisha, they ate them up. Now they ate them up, it's not because they embarrassed him, it's better not to embarrass him, but again, they were born from a mother that was conceived on Yom Kippur. All 42.
Mm-hmm.
No, 42 mothers. 42 ladies became pregnant on Yom Kippur. Let's look at my answer. You want to say from a forest? Where's the forest? Where's the Yericho? Is no forest. So you think about Lo Tuvim, Velo Yar. It means no forest, no bears. There were no forest, no bears. It means no, it was no other way. It was no bears over here, no forest. All of a sudden you saw, like, a forest came down with bears, two bears came out of the forest, they ate the children. You look, where's the forest? No bears, no forest. Doesn't mean no bears, no forest. Is it bear or no? This is Parsha. This is Parsha. This is Parsha. The fourth Makkah Parashat Vayera is Makkah Arov. Arov. Animals coming. I said, animals coming. Of course everything is possible. But the way the thing described in Midrash, you see, had all those bears and the animals coming. From where they coming? From where? From where they coming? Where they came? From Africa they came? From Kenya? From Zambubu? From where? From where they came? The Gemara says, all of a sudden forest, fake animals.
Yes,
yeah,
a little
thing. Right. That's what I say.
How
did they come? From where they running? From where they coming? From the safari in South Africa they are running.
There,
you know, in South Africa you have a safari bigger than the whole area of Israel almost, you know?
But there are no bears
in South Africa, no bears?
I don't think so. No bears.
No?
There are Syrian
bears
though.
In South Africa?
No.
In Syria? Yeah, we have in Nancy also. Not Syrian, American bear. But I mean a lot of birds to come to Egypt. South Africa, I think they have birds. I mean, that's what I was told. But anyway, in Kenya they have. I don't think they came from Kenya to Egypt in 1 second. So the Midrash says, no, all of a sudden like a fake forest came. The forest came together with all the animals to Egypt. Not animals that are smart. That they ran away all from Kenya, they're running into the street. Like happening in Yellow Hall. It's a fake forest with fake animals. It means all of a sudden the whole thing transferred.
But the woman in Israel, does it not kill
the... Oh yeah, a few of them, right. But you can't have all the animals from all over the world coming into Egypt.
Why not? If animals can travel 6 miles in advance of a flood.
Right. So. Can they? But the Midrash says no. The Midrash says that's based on that pasuk in Melachim with Elisha. Mm-hmm. It says no lodi b'meloyav, no forest, no bears. That's the forest over here. That's the forest yard of fire. That's what they call the yard. The whole world took a place in the yard in the forest. Okay. That's the forest. It's that forest where the Torah says
It's called a fake forest. Too deep, too long.
Too little again, like.
Maybe you can figure out it.